Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Hello and welcome everyone. Victoria Haffer here, and I'm so excited to welcome you to my second episode on Coach on Fire Network, Inspired Rebel Radio. Live a kick-ass life, fierce, vulnerable, and free. A show where you will be inspired to step outside the box, embrace your fears, and live your life as if the gate has been left wide open. If you'd like to join us online during the show and ask a few questions, here's the call-in number, 646-716-7979. We'd love to hear from you. I am so thrilled to have Dr. Ashley Greer with us today. Dr. Ashley Greer frees female entrepreneurs to stop playing by the rules and to follow their intuition to have a soulful and inspired life in business. She specializes in helping people stop drowning in fears, self-judgment, and the should to let their true genius shine through and to walk their own unique path in life. Ashley, are you there?
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Hey, girl. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. How are you? I'm so honored that you chose me on your second ever show. Woo!
I know. Well, from one second rebel to another, I thought, oh, my God, it was a no-brainer. So I'm super honored to have you here. I'm excited to hear what's going on with you, and I know the listeners will be excited for that too. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your road to becoming a sacred rebel? So a little
Absolutely.
Bit about your story.
So I have my PhD in psychology. I'm a former psychologist. I practiced for several years after getting my PhD, and I just felt really dead inside. I saw something recently about how, there's a lot of dead people in the world, people who just kind of walk through life feeling really dried up, and they're on autopilot. They're not really participating and fully alive in their lives. And that's totally how I felt. I like to say I was on walking bitch mode. Like, I was just crabby all the time. I was irritated. I gained a bunch of weight. My health was in the toilet. Everything was just feeling terrible in my life. Yet, on paper, I had this life that looked, like, awesome. Like, I had, this diploma. I had a really great job as a psychologist. I was engaged. We owned a house. We lived in a nice small town. All of this stuff. And yet, my life didn't feel good. I accomplished all of the shoulds, all of the things that I was supposed to accomplish in order to be successful in life, and yet those things didn't bring me happiness. And I was like, what the heck is going on? And so one layer at a time, I started peeling back all of these shoulds, all of these things that I had, been taught to and conditioned to believe would make me successful in life, would make me good enough, would make my life happy, would make, would make my life what it's supposed to be. So the first thing I really did was I left my job as a psychologist, and I really forged out. I got some different odd writing jobs for a while, and eventually I became the head of two different coaching academies. And I realized while I was a head of a coaching academy, I love teaching coaches, but I really wanted to coach. And so I saw clearly the path that I was on, and during this time, I really woke up to all the different areas of my life that were making me unhappy. Like each layer that I woke up to that was making me unhappy made me bring into my awareness the other things that were making me unhappy. So suddenly I started to set really firm boundaries in my relationship and ask for everything that I needed. That ended up ending the relationship, but it was a great thing because it ultimately freed me to leave that town, to leave that house, to leave all of those constructs behind and totally forge a brand new life. I moved to a new city that I'd never lived in before, and I lost 50 pounds just like overnight without even trying. And it's just been an unbelievable adventure. And obviously, even more pieces of this adventure. And it's even bigger than this, but I love my life. I can't even tell you. And I'm so grateful that I've gotten free of all of those shoulds.
Yeah. Yeah. I can hear that in your voice, and that's so cool. And it's your energy is definitely infectious, right? That's awesome. The word on the street is that you are a rule breaker. You talk a lot about that. Would you mind sharing a little bit about how breaking rules can bring such, you know, satisfaction, pleasure, and bliss into our lives?
Absolutely. Totally. I mean, I totally, that, I was going to say I live by the rule that you should break all the rules, which makes it another rule. But anyway, I totally believe that rules are just, I mean, they're there to be broken. We're all sort of brought up with this notion that there's one right path from birth to death, right? Like where we're born, we go to school for a whole lot, you know, a really long time. We go to college, then we get a job, then we get married, we buy a house, we have some kids, they go off. And then we finally get to do a little bit of fun stuff for about 10 years, and then we die, right? And it's like, where do those rules come from? Those rules came from an antiquated system that no longer holds, you know, that no longer holds any credence over our society and over ourselves, because our society has grown and it's much different. You know, like you and me, we have the ability to travel wherever we want and to do our work from wherever we want to go. And so I think that we've grown up with this idea that culturally we have to follow these rules about what we're supposed to do when. And if we don't do this, we are not successful. And if we're not successful, that means we're a failure. I think we have to totally shift the paradigm and realize that success isn't about money or achieving these specific, you know, like life, you know, hurdles, these hoops you have to jump through. True success is being happy in your life. And true happiness requires the freedom to make the choices that feel really authentic and true to who you are and not based on what somebody else thinks you should do.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's one of my favorite things that, like, you know, like they say, you know, one of the five regrets of the dying is people on their deathbed say, I wish I hadn't spent my life trying to make other people happy. And I wish I had just focused on expressing my true desires and doing what would make me happy. Because ultimately, those people aren't with you when you're on your deathbed. You're left with yourself and your own experiences. So why aren't we choosing for ourselves instead of what other people want us to do?
That's so awesome. That's definitely a question I ask when I do inspirational speaking is I say, okay, let's fast forward to your deathbed, right? So that we don't have the regrets and say, you know, how do I want to live my life? You know, what's on the bucket list? All of those things and what's holding you back, which typically the thing that is holding us back is the big, you know, elephant in the room we know as fear.
Fear.
Right? Yeah, dun, 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 dun. so you come across, I mean, people must say to you all the time that you come across as being fearless. And, you know, you and I were having a little banter back and forth about that the other night. And I would love for you to just talk a little bit about, you know, your relationship with fear, how it's changed over time, and what it means to you to be fearless.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, obviously in my past, I was very much paralyzed by fear. I was very much feeling like if I'm feeling fear, then that means I should play smaller, shrink back, you know, be even more afraid of fear. But this concept of fearlessness is what you and I were having this chat about the other night. And I love talking about this lately. There's a lot of coaches particularly who say like fear doesn't exist. Danger is real. Fear is not real. I think that is, and essentially means that we become divorced from our emotional reality. We become divorced from the things that we experience. Like, there is nothing wrong with being fear. The problem is that we are afraid of being afraid. And we think that if we're afraid, that means something's wrong and we need to quit, that something's wrong and we need to freeze or run away, instead of realizing that fear is a perfectly natural process of life, just like sadness or grief or any of these things. There's nothing wrong with having an emotional experience. It's what you do with that experience that makes it different. So I actually don't believe in fearlessness. I think that fear is a natural piece of life, and it's not about, you know, banishing fear never to be felt again. It's about saying, I feel this fear, and I'm going to do it anyway. I feel this fear, and does it have something to teach me? Can I understand myself better by understanding the things that are scaring me? Is it natural to be scared by these things? You know, I love watching documentaries about, you know, people who do, like, these fantastical things like base jumping and things like that, right? And you don't even hear them talk about the fact that I am absolutely terrified every single time I do this, but I do it anyway, and that's how I know that I'm still alive, because I can keep going even with fear.
That's right. That's right. So, Ashley, hey, well, do you mind telling our listeners something that you, some fear that you've overcome, like before, you know, you've come to this space of trusting more and just really being open to a life of true adventure. Yeah, what are some things that really scared the crap out of you in the day and that you've overcome?
This is going to sound silly, but I think a lot of women particularly can identify that with this. Like, I was less afraid to leave my job than I was to leave my ex-fiancé. Like, I remember literally, I mean, and like I said, I was much heavier at the time. I had gained a lot of weight. I was feeling really unhealthy. And, you know, he basically invited me to leave because he realized he wouldn't be able to make me happy. And it took everything I could to just keep my mouth shut and allow the relationship to end because I knew it needed to end. But I was terrified, and so many women feel this way, because I thought somewhere in my head that no one would ever love me again, that no one would ever want me, that no one would ever love me, that I'd never, ever find anything. I was too old. You know, I was like 36. I mean, it wasn't really that old. But I thought I was too old. I thought I was, you know, past this point in my life when these things could happen. And I just was terrified of going out there and starting all over again, of dating again. And it sounds so simple, but once I got back out there, I realized that you get to have whatever it is you truly desire. And if you go out and you say, I want somebody who's more, like, for example, I wanted a partner who was more goofy and more lively and more fun and adventurous and all of those things, you get to have those things. You know what I mean? Like, you get to once you open yourself up to having those things, you get to have those things. But I want to be totally honest with you that I was absolutely terrified leaving my partner because I was like, will anybody ever, you know what I mean? Will this ever happen for me again? Because I had never been married or anything. I was engaged. And I was just like, well, am I just going to be the lady who never gets married? You know, like, and I'm not married. And now I don't really give a crap. But point being is we create all of these sort of constructs about, again, this goes back to this idea of this is a construct that I created about what it for me to be a successful woman in our society. And that at 36, I was, you know, never married, never had any kids, da-da-da-da-da, and I was leaving this relationship. How dare I? And I think that really fueled the fear, this thought of how dare I? And I hadn't yet developed the muscles to feel that how dare I? I dare I because it's my life. You know, now I do things, I mean, you and I will probably talk about some of these things in a minute, that are way out in outer space to some people. People are like, you're nuts. And I'm like, I'm going to do the things that I always wanted to do because this is my one shot at life, and I plan to live the hell out of it. You know, I plan to ride it like a wild horse, right? I mean, just ride the hell out of it.
That's right.
I back down. Yeah.
The horse. I love it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what's on the horizon for you next? I know you're actually getting ready for a major life change and transition, and I'm sure our listeners would love to hear all about it.
Absolutely. I'm so excited about this new adventure. And it's interesting to me, you're talking about your motivational speaking and you're talking about what's on your bucket list. I literally found a bucket list from 10 years ago and realized how many things I had done. And this thing, I'm going to a secluded log cabin bordering a national forest in the middle of nowhere in the Rocky Mountains in New Mexico. And this was on my bucket list from 12 years ago.
Whoa.
Yeah, literally, I was like, oh, my God, I totally forgot about it. I knew it was something I had wanted to do 10 years ago, but I didn't realize I had put it on my bucket list. And it was one of those full-body chill moments, and you're like, I'm living the life that I dreamed.
Right. That's amazing.
It was one of those moments when I was suddenly like, this means that anything that you really want, you can have, that you can go after. That you don't need permission. You just need to have a clear vision of what you really want, like what your dreams are.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, as far as doing a lot of work with laws of attraction and, you know, the art of truly manifesting everything that your heart desires, like, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your thoughts about that and how the steps that they could take to start to create a life that they freaking love?
Absolutely. Like, I think there's two keys, well, three keys. The first key is specificity. You need to be really specific about what it is that you want. Like, I mean, I didn't say a log cabin in my bucket list. I didn't get that specific, but I said, I want to rent a house in the Rocky Mountains. Like, you know, a secluded house in the Rocky Mountains. And I knew, and I had it in my head that it was like a log cabin. Like, and so this is very specific what I wanted to do. You need to get specific. A really great analogy here is, it's like, and this analogy works for all of these three reasons. It's like ordering a pizza. When you order a pizza, you don't just call the pizza place and go, pizza, and hang up the phone.
Beer.
Get me pizza. And then you're disappointed because you get like an anchovy pizza and you're like, this isn't the pizza I wanted. The universe is like, you didn't tell me what kind of pizza you wanted. You got pizza, right? This happens so often. People are manifesting all the time, and they don't even see that they're manifesting what they asked for. But because they didn't get specific, they're not asking for. Well, they're not actually getting what they really want.
Right.
You know, like I was talking to somebody recently, and they were like, "Oh, I'm homeless. I have to manifest, you know, a house to live in. I'm, you know, I moved across country and I'm stuck in an Airbnb." And I was like, "Hold up, you've already manifested it. That is a house. You are living in a house. You need a home. There's a difference. Like, and without specifying." The universe is like, we already gave it to you. What do you want? You know, you got your pizza. You just called and said pizza. You know? right? I love this analogy. The second really important thing, I think, is this idea of belief. And it really, the second and third thing go together. It's belief and it's non-attachment. So once you get really specific about what you want, you have to be, like, kind of let go. You have to let go of it happening. You don't think about it and worry about it all the time, because that basically creates, you know, all of this energy that goes in the opposite direction. It creates the energy of not having it instead of the energy of having it. Like, you don't order a pizza and then worry that the pizza isn't going to get there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You say you order a pizza and you know, because this is what happens, is you believe it and you trust it. You put in an order for a pizza and you have absolute faith that that pizza is coming to your house. It's not like you cook dinner and you say, well, if the pizza comes, we'll have pizza, but I don't trust that pizza's coming. And so I better make a plan B and get this all in order so that if the pizza doesn't come, we still have food. No, you know the pizza's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a huge key, and that is probably one of the hardest things people really struggle with in terms of the law of attraction, is trusting and just letting go, not sitting there like, when's the pizza going to get here? Where's the pizza? Why isn't the pizza here yet, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And related to that, Ashley, don't you think it has to do with trusting, though? Like trusting in yourself, trusting in source, trusting in spirit and your connection to the universe. So a lot of people, you know, that they just don't even know how to start there. And so if you can just extend on that second point a little bit around that, you know, because the lack of trust, how do we cultivate trust in ourselves and in our connection to the planet, especially as women?
I think you're absolutely 100% right. Like, I consider trust and belief, like, you know, undivisible. Like, they just go hand in hand, 100%. I think that that when it comes to trust, that people feel fundamentally, you know, they fear that the universe doesn't have their back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the biggest fear that people have is that they can't trust themselves and that they can't trust to be able to cope with it if things don't go exactly according to plan.
I agree.
And so the example, you know, going back to this analogy, is that, you know, if you ordered a pizza, you don't get the dinner ready beforehand. If for some reason pizza guy never comes, you get dinner eventually and you trust that you know how to make dinner and that you'll be able to make dinner. You see what I mean? Like, you trust yourself that you'll be able to figure it out and feed your family. There's food in the house. You know what I mean? You'll figure it out. You're not going to starve. That's
right.
The same thing that happens with us, I think, in the everyday, is we stop trusting ourselves and we stop trusting our ability to cope no matter what happens. And the thing that people don't understand and they don't see is that we have all had a 100% track record of successfully dealing with everything that's come into our path.
Mm-hmm.
And so how could we not trust ourselves when we see that we've had this 100% track record? You know, another tool that I use with my clients when it comes to trust and it comes to belief is I ask them to, you know, there's different ways to call this exercise. You've probably done it with your clients as well. You know, I call it worst-case scenarioing. Some people call it yes and. You know, you ask them to play out their fear to the last logical conclusion. Like, well, what if I stand up to my boss and I lose my job? Yeah, and then what happens? Well, then I'm going to have to find another job. Well, are you qualified to find another job? Well, yeah, but what if I don't find another job? Well, then what's going to happen? Well, then I'm going to do this, and then what's going to happen? What if I get homeless? Are there people who are going to take you in? Well, yes. So then it sounds like you're not going to be homeless, and you'll have some time to figure things out. Whatever it might be, is they realize that the fears, when they're undefined, are far more terrifying than actually playing the fear out to its worst possible conclusion and realizing that anything that happens, they can deal with.
Mm-hmm.
That's trust.
Yes, truth. Love it.
How about you? How do you foster trust?
Oh, trust for me, yeah, really. Thanks for asking, Ashley. Wow. For me, it has been deepening my connection to spirit. So it's really exploring, you know, my own spirituality. And, you know, I don't follow any specific religion. For me, source is, you know, the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth and the goddess and animals, the whole elemental kingdom and world. And so for me, I believe because I connect, I open, I listen and I hear source talking to me, you know, in so many different ways through messages, through people, through the trees, through the horses. And, you know, I've seen so many, many miracles that there's no reason for me not to believe. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I totally agree with that as well. You know, I actually have a client who described herself as atheist, and she's like, I never got the law of attraction because I never got this belief factor. I never got the understanding that you could believe, that you could have faith without there having to be a specific God.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a really interesting concept because there are a lot of people who really have a pushback against the idea of God, or they're atheists, or, you know what I mean? It doesn't fit for them. But the idea is that, you know, I think that the fundamental misunderstanding is what you were saying, that, you know, God, source, it's in everything, and it is everything. You know, it's my hand, it's this conversation, it's, you know, it's the energy in everything. And when we think of that as God, it's not like this big guy with a beard sitting in the sky on a cloud, you know?
Hang on. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, like Cher says, if you could turn back time and have a conversation with your, I won't sing that, but if you could turn back time and have a conversation with your younger, the younger Ashley, you know, teenager, early 20s, what might you say to her?
I think I'd probably say a lot to her. I'd probably say a lot. I'd tell her, really. I'd be like, let me talk some sense into you, girl. No. No, seriously. I mean, I'd tell her things like, you're beautiful. You never have to be afraid or ashamed of your body or that you're not good enough, because you are always good enough. You'll always be good enough. You don't have to earn love. You don't have to earn anything. Like, you have gifts. You have something meaningful to share. There is genius inside of you that longs to get out. If you can just trust that there's this beauty inside of you that wants to come out, it will flow instead of feeling like, you know, you're not doing things right. And then to believe, like you were just saying, to believe and to trust in the process that even when things are hard, that I'm always being pushed, not even pushed, that I'm always being guided towards something better and something greater and something more beautiful and something more in alignment with my, you know, best self. Just thinking about this last night about how, like, compared to 10 years ago, like, I have grown light years. And then I was like, well, shoot, 10 years ago, I would have looked back and said, compared to 10 years ago, I have grown light years. So it's almost like I would invite myself to be excited about the process of growth that I am getting invited into in my life.
Absolutely. That's really beautiful. Hey, listeners, Ashley and I would love to hear from you. If you'd like to give us a call, dial us up at 646-716-7979. We'd love to hear from you and take your questions. Also, Ashley, if you want to tell everyone how they can find you after our amazing radio show today, feel free.
Absolutely. You can check me out over on my website. It's ashleygreer.com. It's W-E-E-S-H-L-E-E-G-R-E-E-R. And I have a Facebook group called Follow Your Dreams. It's for women, but, I mean, you can, if you're a guy, you can connect with me on my website. I do work with everybody, although I specialize in working with women.
That's awesome. That's so cool. And you had I mentioned to me one of the reasons for taking this two-month sabbatical in New Mexico was for something possibly very special. Did you want to share that with the with our listeners today?
Oh, that I'm writing a book.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah.
Tell us all about it.
I literally, someone was asking me about this morning, and I'm like, I don't even know what I'm writing a book about yet. I know I have a lot to say. I have a lot to say, and there's a book inside of me. I'm just trusting that the universe will sort it all out by the time I get there. No, seriously,
that's
like, I was just terrible. Thinking on, because I'm visiting my dad right now, so I'm just on a road trip right now, and, you know, in the car is when I do some of my best thinking, and I was thinking on the way down here, and my intuition, my connection to source said, it's not coming yet. The book's not coming yet. It will come on the big drive. So I went, okay, I'm going to trust it. Again, going back to that trust and belief. I know it's there. I know it's coming. But I'm just going to trust that it's going to come out in its own perfect timing when these ideas are ready to be. Because I have a lot of ideas. I just don't know how it all comes together in the shape of the building that I'm building, if that makes sense. I need to go back to architecture school.
Absolutely. Oh, I hear you, sister. I totally get it. And whatever that book is, you know, I will definitely be reading it.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm so honored. I'm so honored to be your friend, Victoria.
Aw, thanks, sister. beginning of a really, I think, beautiful, beautiful relationship. And it's what a great way to get it going on, but live in front of, you know, thousands of people. so cool. I got a question for you. So
yeah.
One of my favorite words is simplicity. And I was just curious what simplicity means to you, because clearly as you just recently gave up almost all your, you know, worldly possessions and everything you own is now in your car, right?
Yep.
So talk to us about simplicity, baby.
I went minimalist about 6 months ago. I've been fascinated by this whole minimalist movement for like a year. You know, it was like these two guys out in Whitehead Bay, Montana or something. And I saw a TED talk about it. And basically what they did is they packed up all of their stuff in boxes. And for a month, they unpacked the things, only the things that they used. And they realized that they didn't need it or really desire 90% of the things that they owned. That those things ended up becoming baggage. They ended up becoming dead weight, sort of, that they had to constantly haul around with them if they ever wanted to go anywhere. It, you know, they realized that their life was focused on the accumulation of things rather than the accumulation of experiences and on the appreciation of other people. And I was like, oh, that's a beautiful way to live. I totally want to live this way. You know, and then I was like, well, I have a whole apartment full of stuff. That's much, you know, and I had like paid like movers to move all my crap 6 hours, you know, to this new town that I moved in, you know, 2 years ago or whenever, when I moved out of my ex-fiance's house. And I was like, well, I'm not going to get rid of all my stuff. And then suddenly the opportunity presented itself because I was going to go across country to be close to my dad for a while. He's got Alzheimer's disease, so I wanted to be close to him. And I was like, well, am I going to put all this stuff in storage? And I'm like, and then pay rent to have crap sit in a storage bin? Like, why would I do that? And then I was like, well, am I going to grab a U-Haul? And I'm like, well, I'm not moving there. And then I was like, well, what do I really want to do? Like, what do I really want to do with my life? Do I want to haul these things around different places? And I was like, what I want to do is have the freedom to be able to get up and go wherever I want and not feel as though I'm burdened by the baggage of things or that I'm constantly trying to buy things to make myself happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I literally got rid of every stitch of furniture except for one thing. I have an antique table that my dad's English, and he hid underneath this table in World War II during the war when they were bombing London. And he hid underneath that table, and it's the only thing I kept, furniture. Otherwise, I still have a problem with clothing. because, yeah, probably 60% of my stuff is now clothes.
yeah.
I have, like, clothes, computers, camping equipment, and, like, just a little bit of paperwork, you know, like journals and things like that, oracle cards, stuff like that. And literally, like, I don't have kitchen stuff. I have some kitchen stuff just in case I you know. And not like an Airbnb or something where they have kitchen stuff. But that's literally all I have left. And I will tell you, in 6 months, I don't miss anything. I think I've thought of maybe two things that I've missed.
Right.
Like two things. I mean, of all of that stuff. And it was half a huge moving truck from Salvation Army that I filled. Because I just donated all of it. And I filled it half a truck. They were like, what? And I'm like, yeah, sorry, I have a lot of stuff. And they're like, oh, my God. Because we hold on to all this stuff thinking, well, what if I need it? What if I need it? And then all of that what if becomes a prison. The same way it becomes a prison in the way we think, it becomes a prison in the way we live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're my idol, for sure. That is so amazing. Well, no, because I know I see that for me, too, because when I think about, you know, see myself a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, where will I be? And it's like stuff, you know, like just stuff. Our stuff is like, it can be baggage, it can be metaphorically speaking, right? It can represent so much from the past. Like how often are we living in the past, right? And not being in the present moment. And like you said, Ashley, like how much of this stuff do we really need? Like, you know, I stay away from the malls now. I definitely, you know, would get charged up with the shopping retail therapy in the past. And now I'm just like, do I really need this? Do I really need this? You know, you might want it. Everybody wants a whole boatload of stuff, right? But what mm-hmm. is the purpose for it? And like you said, so many people use that buying power to fill a void, right, to mask the pain. And ultimately, when we're truly living in this space of being so present with what is and living in our power and all of that, then you find that that other stuff doesn't mean anything anymore, right?
Exactly. And that's such a great point about buying stuff, because that was a big shift too. You know, I used to love like shopping and stuff like that. And now I'm like, well, I don't really need anything. Or if I'm going to get something, then I need to get rid of something. Are you willing to get rid of something for this new thing? If not, then it's not that important, is it?
Yeah, I played that game for sure, like still having stuff in the closet with tags on it. And then every time I would buy something, I basically, the deal I had with myself was I had to actually give it away to, give something else away to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Make room in my closet or in my drawers, which is really kind of funny. So you mentioned earlier a little bit about that the big word intuition. Intuition, that inner knowing, that inner trusting, and that first of all, I'd love to hear a couple things. What have you done to strengthen that power muscle, right? And then obviously what recommendations or practical application around how to enhance or improve our intuition.
Absolutely. Like, I think intuition is such an important thing to talk about, because what's interesting to me is I've always had really strong intuition, but when I went to graduate, and I thought, like, I just aged out of it or something. I thought that's what happened. Like, you just sort of aged out of it. And it didn't. Once I started to make choices that made me happy, I started to plug into that intuition again. And I find that is so true, you know, and it's interesting as I've moved forward in my business. You know, at one point I was trying to operate, you know, basically as a coach with the tools of a psychologist. Didn't really like that. And I realized more and more and more that my gifts are because I'm intuitive. Yeah, I have all of this, you know, book knowledge, but it's the knowledge that you can't put your finger on, that nuanced understanding of things. People are like, how did you know that? And I'm like, I don't know. I just saw a picture in my head, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I find, like, for me, that the more it gets stronger and stronger, the more that I make choices that prioritize myself, that take care of myself, that really bring forth joy and, like, meaning in my life. Like, when I'm making choices that make me feel free, and make me feel like I'm coming from a place of flow instead of feeling like I'm having to force my life, that my intuition flows freely. It's when I'm like living by the should, telling myself like, no, you should do this. No, you should go out and, you know, push, you know, because as an entrepreneur, a lot of times you feel the need to like push, hustle. I'm tired of that culture. I'm over it because to me that disconnects us from this important piece of our intuition because it's saying, just go out there and do something instead of saying, what is divinely led? What is divinely inspired? What is an intuitive fit for what needs to be said to connect to the hearts of the people who need to hear it most at this moment? But in terms of how to connect other people with their intuition, I find that I actually have a little exercise that I run people through. If you want me to run your audience through it, it's pretty quick. Okay. So basically what I do is I have people just really, you know, center themselves, take a couple of, you know, deep breaths. And then this is basically intuition tuning. I'm going to ask you some really stupidly basic questions, and you're going to listen to your body and figure out where in your body you're feeling the answer. So it's going to be basic yes or no questions. And this is going to be an anchor that you can rely on to know when your intuition is telling you yes or no about more important things. And so whenever you need to find your intuition when it comes to something, you can come back and anchor yourself in some of these really basic questions that you know the yes or no answers to, feel where it is in your body, re-anchor yourself, and then start going into the more important questions, the things that you really want to know about, because you'll feel more anchored in your intuition when you go ahead. So you take a couple of really deep breaths. And so I'm going to ask you some questions. So the question is, do you have 9 legs? The answer is no. So where in your body do you feel that no? Do you feel it in your stomach? Do you feel it in your throat? Do you feel it in the back of your head? It's different for everybody. I generally feel no, like an elevator going down in the middle of my body. It almost like pushes downward towards like my pelvic region. Yeses for me push up towards my heart. It's like an elevator going up and down. So here's another question. Do you breathe? The answer is, of course, yes. So where in your body do you feel that? The next question, are you underwater right now? No.
I hope not.
No, of course not. Right? I know. Yeah, of course not. These are ridiculously obvious questions. But the reason is because when you know what the yes or no is, then you can know where that yes or no is in your body. And so, like, another question might be, like, do you like it when it's sunny out? Well, not everybody does, but I don't know. I do. So that's a definite yes for me. I get excited. I can feel it raising, you know? So you can ask, you know, you might even make yourself a little list of these obvious yes or no questions to anchor yourself in your intuition, and then you can ask yourself a better, more important question, like, is this the right decision, right business decision for me to make right now? And you can feel the yes or you cannot feel the no in your body because you've anchored yourself in where you feel that.
Well, I really love that. It sounds very similar to muscle testing or kinesiology, or even if you've ever used a pendulum before, just kind of tap into your higher self and ask various questions about, you know, love, life, food, things that, you know, serve you or don't serve you, and how they show up in your body. So that's a new one for me, Ashley. So that's great. I love it. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. I've never had kinesiology before, but I've always wanted to do it in muscle testing, and I didn't realize that was so similar. And I'm like, oh, no, it'll click. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. You know, if you're doing it with a partner, the person stands on 2 feet, extends one arm out, and, you know, strong, and you start out the same way. You ask, is my name Victoria? So you show me a yes and show me a no. Is my name Steven? And then you can see the strength in the arm, and then you can ask lots of questions around that. And they've actually done some pretty cool studies around it where various people were holding images, photographs in enclosed envelopes, and they didn't know what they were. And they actually tested them, muscle tested them on energy strength and you know, basically you're testing the strength of your magnetic field. And it was really interesting because pictures that were like Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Buddha, things like that, people were all really strong. And then there were pictures of things like 9/11 and Hitler and, you know, various images that were, that didn't bring about the highest vibrations, and people were all weak and they had no idea what was actually in the envelope.
That's so cool.
Right? Yeah, so energy. It's all about energy.
It totally is.
Pretty awesome. Give a shout out again just to all our listeners out there. If you'd like to call in and ask Dr. Ashley a question, we'd love to hear from you. 646-716-7979. We're on the line. So I have a quick question for you. Do you have any regrets in your life? Anything that you regret?
You know, I don't know if you knew this, but I one of my life mottos is to live life without regret.
Interesting.
Because I think even the things that I have found incredibly challenging, like, you know, I stayed in that engagement for too long. I'm like, you know what? I needed to be there right where I was, exactly when I was there. We're getting a little feedback from you.
Ooh,
and
feedback?
So I needed to be, yeah, I'm yours. I can hear myself. Sorry.
Oh, echoing. Sorry. Yeah, I don't get that on my end, but yeah, that's, sorry about that.
Anyway, so, you know, I was exactly where I needed to be at exactly the right time. And it's part of the process. You know, everything teaches us lessons. Everything creates opportunities for us. It's the same thing, like, same thing but similar. I actually believe another one of my mottos in life is that I literally think that every single day is the best day of my life. Because every single day I get better, even if it's a harder day, even if it's crappier, even if it's, you know, I'm sick or whatever it is, I am still a wiser, more well-rounded, more grounded person. And so every day I gain more perspective. Every day I feel better about my place in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't want
to. Yeah, I'm with you there too, sister. I love it. That's awesome. That's so cool. Let's ask you some fun questions. What is your favorite flavor ice cream?
But literally, I just took my dad out to lunch, and we had this beautiful ice cream. It was like a coconut pineapple, and that was freaking amazing. But you could feed me pretty much any ice cream, and I'd probably eat it. I've been a big fan of, raspberry cheesecake gelato lately. Oh, my God. Like, it's ridiculous. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and I'm trying not to eat sugar, so I'm especially like, let's pour the ice cream on my face. No.
Hey, so speaking of that, have you made your own, you know, ice cream with the fruit? Like, you know, I use the Nutribullet and I freeze my bananas and, you know, frozen berries, and then you add an unsweetened non-dairy milk, and then you could add a little coconut sugar or raw honey to sweeten it up, and there you go, bam, delicious, and no refined sugar.
I have done that, and it's so good. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's sort of like, what was one of the questions I asked my community recently was, what is the flavor of freedom?
I freaking love
like
it.
Right? So, like, if you had to say, what does freedom taste like? And I said it tastes like watermelon and mangoes, because that freshness, you know what I mean? And that,
yummy.
And that, right? And that ice cream that you were describing, that taste, that, you know, like, I can feel that freshness and that. You know, it's like when you walk out of something and, you know, like your job for the last time, and you're like, I'm free, you know.
That's great. I love it. I think you should market that for sure, Ashley. Hey, listen, we actually have a couple callers on the line. How exciting. So we, hello, caller. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Your caller. Who is speaking?
This is your mother.
Oh. Oh my God. Hi,
are
Mom.
You all right? I just wanted to call in and tell you I'm listening.
Yeah. Say hello to Ashley.
Hi, Ashley.
Hey, Mom.
Ashley, this is my mom. This is my mom.
This is Madge Haffer. I'm listening to you guys.
Oh, thank you so much for calling in.
It's on a delay. It's weird.
Did you have any questions for Ashley today, or did you just want to say hi?
No, I just, there's no way I could give up my stuff, okay? I need my TV. Couldn't do it. I just wanted to call in and say hi, and I love you, and you're doing
a good
job.
All right, well, thank you so much.
Okay.
I love you, too.
Okay.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye. That was so cute.
Oh, that was hysterical. Thanks for calling in, Mom. Okay. So, Ashley.
Yeah.
That's funny. So Ashley, has your mom ever called in on any of your shows?
No, thankfully not.
So any you know, we're wrapping up a little bit here, but any last words of wisdom for our readers, or anything else you want to share? Anything that, you know, what you got cooking, how you work, perhaps how you work with clients?
Absolutely. So I love working with people both, you know, intuitively and with my psychological skills. I love working with female entrepreneurs and coaches, particularly. Coaches are my favorite to work with, and help them, you know, hone their coaching skills. Because, I mean, I think, you know, this is a really good thing to talk about. I think there's a lot of coaches who think they should have it all figured out once they become a coach, that they should no longer need any help or any support.
No.
And I think that's absolutely not true. I think that, you know, we're like plants. The minute we stop growing, the minute we start dying.
That's right.
And so we need to really understand that we need to continually grow in order to be our best self, to be the best coach we can be. You know, like, I always have a coach. I always work with a coach because it makes me a hell of a better coach. And that there's no shame in that. I think a lot of coaches are afraid to admit that because they think there's something wrong with it, you know? But I think that's
right
a skill.
Yeah, I mean, all my closest friends are coaches and healers and, you know, intuitives and all of that. And so it's constantly getting that feedback. And I myself have had my share of coaches along the way. And, absolutely. We all need support, right? So that's a really, really, really great point.
Absolutely. And then, you know, especially working as a healer, it can feel really isolating if you don't have that support.
Mm-hmm.
You can get cold and hot in the fact, you know, where you can't see your blind spots, where you can't see that it's okay to do things your own way. Like, I've even asked my own coach that before. You know, I'm like, well, I want to do it like this. And she's like, this is your own business. You can do whatever the hell you want. And I was like, oh, duh. I tell people that all the time. You know, like, we even have a hard time even pointing towards ourselves, the genius that we can share with other people and help them with. So it's so important.
Absolutely. Hey, I have some exciting news. There's another caller on the line. And
awesome.
let's take the call. Yeah. Hello, caller.
Can you hear me?
Hi, yeah. Who's checking in with us?
It's Kathleen.
Oh, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Kathleen, hello, darling. Thanks for calling in. So, did you have a question for Ashley, or did you just want to make a comment today?
Well, I want to say something to Ashley. I just appreciate everything that she's doing and standing for, and so love her. And thank you for sharing your gifts with everyone. So,
thank you,
pretty
Kathleen.
True.
That's so sweet.
No, you're more than welcome. We're friends on Facebook, too. So I'm like, oh, I got to
love that.
So fun.
Facebook is a beautiful thing, isn't it?
I know.
For sure.
It's a great way to connect, you know, with people. But you were just talking, Ashley, about growth, right? And if we always are growing, we're always changing, right?
Yep.
So I found from another, like, yoga friend, he had posted on Facebook, actually, a poem or a saying by Annie Potts, and it's about growth. And I've read it in my few of my yoga classes right before Shavasana at the end. Oh, my son. Thomas, I'm on the phone. Let me help you. Okay, buddy.
He wants anyway, to get on. He wants to be famous too.
Oh, honey. Yeah, Sonia, I have a little 4-year-old that's talking to me right now. But here you go, buddy. Here you go. Mommy's on the phone. Okay. Anyway, it was a really nice saying, a poem, and it just when you just talked about that. So I don't know if it's anything that you want to hear, or I can send it off or whatever. Too, I can maybe send it to you on Facebook. Absolutely, that'd be delightful.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great, my love. Kathleen, thank you so much for calling in today.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I enjoyed the whole podcast. I missed about 20 minutes in the middle, but I tried to hear it from the beginning and then just now. So
yeah, it's great. It'll be available for replay, so you can miss all the juicy stuff in the middle that you know you can catch up on and share it with your students and your fans.
Oh, excellent. There is definitely feedback, if you will, like. I can hear, you know, she can, like, hear a voice. So there's got to, you know, in the future, hopefully they'll get a way to not have that happen, you know, because it's hard, you know, to hear on the podcast. But it's not that I couldn't hear. It's just that echoing sound that you're probably hearing. So, but
yeah,
it might be coming through your computer speakers. I think if you put on a headset, it would go away. Oh, cool. At least that's what it seems like to me.
Uh-huh. Awesome, Kathleen. Right. Thanks for calling in, your
Thank
girl.
Thank you. All right.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Take care. Thank you, Ashley. All right. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just sounds like, you know, I can hear myself what I'm saying right after I say it, like it's coming through your computer. But anyway, you know, what Kathleen said really sparked something for me about how I think one of the biggest issues that women have these days is the issue of needing to control everything in their life.
Mm.
You know, and I was thinking about, you know, I don't know what it was about what she said that resonated with this, but about one of my favorite quotes from this Greek philosopher named Heraclitus. And he says, you can't step into the same river twice.
Mm.
Life is always changing. You can't stop the river and say, well, this is now the river. The river is always going to change because there's always new water coming in. And just like we are always going to change. That can be scary, but it can also be really, really invigorating because we always have another opportunity to do it different. We always have another opportunity to choose and to create the life that we really desire, even if we've never done it until this very moment. We can always choose different and do things differently. There's always a new opportunity because that river is always flowing.
Absolutely. For sure. Wow. Oh, my goodness. So fun. Time, like, flies when you're having so much adventure with my new Sacred Rebel gal pal here. Woohoo! Again, one more time, I want to share with everyone how to get in touch with you. Ashley Greer, EEEE.com. It's the way to get in touch with her. I know that she'll be off the grid for the next 2 months, but I'm sure in a couple of months.
I'll have internet. I'll have internet.
Oh, cool. Okay. Good correction on that. So stay in touch. You can find her on Facebook. Also, what is your Facebook?
Follow Your Dreams. Follow Your Dreams.
Follow Your Dreams?
Yep.
So you can find her on Facebook in that group. That's so awesome. And again, thank you so much, Ashley, for coming on and, you know, spending your precious time with us. So grateful. So wonderful. And we'll talk real soon. Anything else that you wanted to add to our listeners? Any amazing words of wisdom before we connect off?
Yeah, to just go out there and break some rules and just be yourself. To feel free to do what it is you do and only the way you can do it.
Right on, sister. As Katherine Hepburn says, if you obey all the rules, you miss all the fun. All right.
So
signing off, sister.
All right.
I'll talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Bye-bye. And all right, guys, thank you so much for listening today to my second episode of Inspired Rebel Radio, Live a Kick-Ass Life, Fierce, Vulnerable, and Free. You can reach me at victoriahaffer.com. and hope to see you on, hear you on our next episode, a show where you'll be inspired by stepping outside the box, embracing your fears, and living your life as if the gate has been left wide open. Have the best day ever.